straight ahead, Kelly Hancock's power play for one of the state's top jobs. He resigned from the Texas Senate and now has the advantage in the Republican race for state comptroller. How serious is State Rep. Mitch Little about running for Texas Attorney General? The Louisville Republican on that, compromise, and holding teachers and school districts accountable. After more than a decade, the criminal case against Ken Paxton now officially closed. Two things Paxton did to get charges dismissed. And Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne proposes a new way to force sanctuary cities to cooperate on immigration. We'll talk to her about that, along with her position on what's happening in Iran.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
I'm Jason Whiteley. Let's start the program here with the top political headlines happening across our state. The state of Texas has quietly defunded the building of a state border wall that Governor Abbott bragged so much about. Only 8% of it ever got built, about 65 miles of it. The Texas-Mexico border stretches 1,200 miles. The governor's office said the Trump administration's focus on the border is letting Texas adjust its own effort. The Texas Tribune with a really good write-up about this one. The securities fraud charges that have hung over the Attorney General Ken Paxton for more than a decade now, they have finally been dismissed. Over the last year, Paxton has completed 100 hours of community service at nonprofits in Collin County, along with 30 hours of online ethics training. He has also fully repaid the victims in this case, attorneys tell us. Paxton, of course, now running for U.S. Senate. And an interesting stat from the city of Houston, employees with more than 24,000 years of experience have left that city. Mayor John Whitmer trying to get Houston's budget back in line. One cost-cutting move was to offer voluntary retirements to city workers. More than 1,000 employees took it, and the Houston Chronicle reports that those exits, 1,000 people, equate to more than 24,000 years of experience. Let's start, though, right now with that power play in Austin. Veteran State Senator Kelly Hancock resigned his seat. He was immediately named as the chief clerk in the state comptroller's office, and he's going to ascend to the top job itself next week when the incumbent Glenn Hagar formally leaves. Hancock also formally announced he's running for comptroller. He got an endorsement from Governor Abbott, and he is clearly the front runner right now in a race with several Republicans. Senator, good to see you again. I guess Mr. Clerk now is the proper title here. When did you decide that this is something you wanted to do?
You know, I started thinking about it. The wheel started turning in motion over a year ago when we knew that Chancellor Sharp was going to step down at Texas A&M, and there's rumors and speculation about Glenn Hager, current comptroller, moving on. And so, sure. Session starts, start thinking about it. And obviously, I'm focused on session. I was elected to be a state senator, but you knew this was going to take place. And so, it was a good challenge, I think, something that fit my experience well. And so, I'd say fairly early on.
There are obviously two other Republicans who say they're going to run for this seat as well. How would you say you're different from them?
I think experience. I'm a small business owner that started, from scratch. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had to build this company from the ground up. But then, my time on the school board, I think is vitally important. But from a professional and a business standpoint, which is really what it takes in the comptroller's office, I'm the only one that has 10 years writing a budget, working with the comptroller's office, working on various articles, in other words, different parts of the budget, serving on various committees that those funds flow through, and then the legislative budget board, which where we set the cap for the state. They determine what the cap is, and of course, after 10 years of trying and a lot of elected officials trying to pass population inflation as the more conservative, fiscally responsible cap, we did that a couple of sessions ago. So I think I've got a good track record, I think.
Kelly, do you expect a quick special election to fill your Senate seat?
That's totally up to the governor. And I do like the fact that you called me Kelly instead of Senator, because I'm just an average Texan. Kelly's my favorite title, other than Grandpa.
I bet you have a few more with the family there. But obviously, for your constituents or your former constituents, you want them represented if there's a special session. Are you asking the governor to go ahead and do something sooner rather than later, even though it's his decision solely?
Yeah. So Jason, there is, while I am in the comptroller's office, My staff is going to stay there. We're going to continue to monitor. And so we have provisions until that seat's in place. And I've had staff conversations. Whether I'm there or not, we are going to take care of constituents in Senate District 9. I may not, I'm leaving, but I still feel responsible until that position's filled.
Do you plan to endorse anybody for your old seat in the Senate?
I'm focused on the comptroller's race, Jason, and we're going to make sure we win that race.
Kelly, it's good to see you again. Congratulations on the campaign.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Good to see you, Jason. Hope all is well.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about the politics of this. Bud Kennedy is here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Ashley Godeau, political director at KVU in Austin. And of course, Aya Mitra with us from the Texas Tribune, also in Austin. Bud, let's start with you. You were paying particular attention to the last couple of minutes of that interview, the last couple of questions in the interview.
Well, there is a Senate seat that's open now, and the question is what will happen to that. This isn't a surprise. It's been in the works. It's been rumored for, I think, a year, Jason, that at some point Kelly was going to move up to a statewide office like comptroller and be groomed for higher statewide office. So I think, you know, I'm surprised nobody's announced as of where we're talking right now. I expect some candidates to announce. I think people knew this was coming, and somebody in Northwest Tarrant County will be lined up to fill that seat.
Yeah, we'll wait and see when that election happens as well. Of course, though, Ashley, former Republican Senator Don Huffines from the Dallas area, Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock also running for this. And the thing that people are looking at is, where is the base? Who will the Republican base, the MAGA base here, be behind?
It'll be interesting to see who really carries it out, because, Huffines has a really strong support with some of those super ultra-conservative, grassroots type Republicans who are presumably going to be backing him. I mean, I think that Senator Hancock, you know, comes with some question marks for perhaps some of those grassroots folks. So I think we're definitely going to see a divide, but I really feel like it's going to be a race between the two of them in the primary.
And it's still early, of course, Ian.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Christy Craddock also in the race. She's going to have a challenge to kind of distinguish herself as well. And as we talked about with the endorsements, you know, Don Huffines already is, you know, has a, you know, big list of endorsements, you know, Matt Gaetz, Ted Cruz, Brandon Gill. I mean, there's already a kind of a big list. And I think, you know, Kelly Hancock's biggest endorsement right now is Greg Abbott.
Yeah.
That's a big one, too.
And yeah, Huffines definitely saying right now, listen, the base is behind me, but this thing will start to form here in the coming months. Guys, thanks so much. A lot more ahead here, including this in just a moment.
When we come back here, another state lawmaker also looking at a statewide run. Representative Mitch Little takes our questions after his first legislative session. And Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne on the unfolding situation in Iran, plus a new way she wants to force sanctuary cities to cooperate on immigration. Inside Texas Politics, back in a moment.
Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. We're hearing lots of chatter right now about the governor potentially calling a special legislative session later this summer. You know, last week we had on a freshman Democrat, this week a freshman Republican. State Rep Mitch Little is a Republican who represents parts of Denton County from Carrollton over to Fort Worth. Representative, welcome to the program here.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
I have heard the Republicans describe this legislative session as the most conservative one ever. And I want to ask you something. I don't normally start with somebody else's interview, but I heard you in an interview the other day, and you said a couple of things I really kind of wanted to clear up here. You said there's so much compromise going on. I think this was in America's Newsroom. I'm curious about the context of that statement. Is compromise bad in Austin?
It's not. I'm not talking about compromise between Republicans and Democrats. I'm talking about Republicans compromising their values in order to vote.
Within the party.
Within the party. And I think you can trace a direct line from that compromise to the increased size of the budget. We're having still exploding budget growth in the state of Texas. And until we've got spending under control, we're still going to struggle to get our hands around the property tax issue.
Well, that was my next question. You said there's not enough commitment to reduce spending. Is this Texas budget, the biggest one ever, but is this overspending? I mean, I hear Republicans say, listen, the state's growing. We've got to address things.
Well, I think it would be wrong to say it's quote unquote overspending. I think we overspend in certain areas. So you look at important accomplishments in areas like water infrastructure and growing other parts of Texas's contribution to the economy. The thing that I think really rankles a lot of conservative Republicans is the increased commitment to corporate welfare and funding industries it shouldn't fund. We should be out of, Texas should be out of the business of Texas's business and let the economy grow on its own. I think the people who are running small and large businesses in Texas, they know how to do it best. They don't need the government's help.
One of the bills you're most proud of is House Bill 4623. It holds teachers and school districts accountable for abusing students. On the outside, I'm like, this seems like a no-brainer. How in the world was this not state law already?
Man, it was actually a way more tense discussion than you would think, Jason. And so what the bill does is it removes sovereign immunity from school districts for claims of sexual abuse against its professionals, whether they're teachers, janitors, school administrators. We have a sexual abuse epidemic in our public school system. I mean, on any given day, you can see three or four newly reported news stories about teachers sexually abusing students in the state of Texas. This is going to remove that shield of sovereign immunity and cause those school districts to actually put some skin in the game and be accountable to the people who are putting or entrusting their kids to go to school there.
There's talk of a special session this summer to potentially redraw congressional districts in hopes of limiting losses next year on the Republican side.
Sure.
I've talked to Republicans who say, listen, you know, we're afraid that if we redraw these districts in some places, we might be vulnerable as well. Is this a good idea?
I think it is a good idea. It always seems to me that politicians are a little bit more afraid of losing a chunk of their reliable electorate.
Right.
And you know what? We have enough room in this state to add seats. We've got to do it. It's not just for Texas. It's for the United States of America, too. I think there's a lot of pressure from Washington to try to add these seats. It's going to be a good thing for Republicans, certainly.
Where would it be? What parts of the state do you think would be carved out
more? I think we'll pick up seats in South Texas and elsewhere, too.
You said you are considering running for Texas Attorney General. A couple names already in this race. How serious are you about this?
Well, I'm serious about the state of Texas getting the best lawyer it can get. As I've told other people, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. This is it would be a major upheaval to my life, my law firm, my family. I think the most important thing that Texans need to be thinking about right now is not who's in the race, but who is the best lawyer that the state of Texas could hire to fight all these battles it has to fight. I think, honestly, the thing that I've been thinking about more than anything over the last 6 months is cleaning up the corruption that we have in Harris County in Houston. We have a great deal of integration between the politicians who are running Harris County in Houston. There's been overspending. There's been a massive push for universal basic income. I believe also misuse of public resources, misuse of prosecutorial resources. You know, a lot of the bail reform that we spent months and months doing in the Texas House was as a result of the abuse of the legal system by Harris County's district judges. I think we need someone in Texas who's going to enforce the laws here and ensure that Texans stay safe.
Representative, thank you for the time.
Yeah, God bless you. Thank you.
All right, now to the situation in Iran. It is consuming the world political stage this weekend. The big question, how far will President Trump take the United States into it? This issue is dividing Republicans. And we started there with Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne, a Republican who represents parts of North Texas. And we contacted her in London while she and congressional colleagues were on a trade trip there. Congresswoman, welcome back to the program. You wrote the other day on X that Iran with nukes is unacceptable. You said Iran miscalculated, but there's a buildup of U.S. forces in the region. A lot of folks are wondering how far will this go with the U.S.?
Well, look, we have an opportunity to, I think right now you have seen Iran be about as vulnerable as we've seen it in decades. And I think for obvious reasons, we do not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. They talk about the little devil being Israel. The big devil is the U.S. The little Satan and the big Satan is Israel and U.S. We do not want them to have a nuclear weapon. And they have proven time and time again that they are not trustworthy, that they will lie to your face as they're developing nuclear weapons. So I think if we've got an opportunity to take that out, we absolutely should. And I think that the Iranian people, the very people want to have peace. I think it's the government, it's the regime that the Iranian people would be more than happy to get rid of. And if that would cause peace in the region, then, you know, I think we need to take advantage of the situation.
Congresswoman, you introduced a new bill to strip federal funding from sanctuary cities if they don't cooperate with federal immigration authorities. I'm curious, do you think that's going to apply to any Texas cities specifically?
Well, in Texas, we have a state law, right, that
Right.
prevents sanctuary cities. So I would think not. But we do see cities across the country where that would be very applicable. Cities like New York, cities like LA, where you're seeing these types of activities, which is not only putting their citizens in harm's way, but it's also putting federal property and federal law enforcement lives in harm's way, totally unnecessarily. So the idea of this bill is, look, if you can't do your job and you can't protect your citizens, you can't follow the law, you can't enforce the law, then put your money where your mouth is. If this is so important to you that you're not going to change your behavior, fine, then we're going to claw back your federal monies.
Your annual job fair is coming up August 7th at Globe Life Field in Arlington. This has become quite an event, not just a job fair, as people might think of in the title there. Tell me some of the companies that will be looking to hire this year.
Well, we've got American Airlines, we've got AT&T, we've got SMU, we've got Toyota. We had over 500 businesses last year that participated, and we had between 25 and 30,000 people that came out. So I would love for people to go to myntxjobs.com. Again, it's North Texas, so myntxjobs.com. Register, see the companies that are there. It's going to be from 11 to 3 o'clock, 11 to 3 o'clock at Globe Life Field. And look, a lot of those jobs last year, a lot of those jobs were paying over $100,000. So we've got, government sector jobs, we've got law enforcement, we've got tech, we've got healthcare, we've got aviation, you name it, it's going to be there. And we would love to have everybody come out and participate.
Last thing before we let you go here, your name has been floated as a potential candidate for higher office, maybe across the state or in DC there. Do you plan on seeking anything else? Do you have aspirations for any other jobs, or are you running for re-election to Congress?
People are always looking at what you're doing next. I'm looking at what I'm doing now. And we have got, a president who is trying to get a number of bills that are put forward. We have a tax bill that we have got to get, we've got to get passed so that we can avoid, people having the largest tax increase in our nation's history. We have a border that we have got to make sure we keep protected by giving Kristi Noem and Tom Homan the resources that they need. There's a lot going on right now, and that's where my focus is, but I appreciate the question.
Congresswoman, safe travels home. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Jason.
The roundtable is ready when we come back here on Inside Texas Politics. And our podcast this week is with a quiet force in the legal world. Tennessee's Attorney General has led some landmark cases from college sports to concert tickets. And the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled in his favor this week with a precedent-setting decision on transgender health. Jonathan Scrimeti on Yolitics with us. This episode ready to download right now, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Ian, and Ashley all back with us here. And Ashley, let's start with you. President Trump ran on keeping America out of foreign wars, but here we are, with the situation unfolding in Iran. Republicans are split over this. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene and we have Tucker Carlson, a few of the louder voices saying absolutely not, this is a bad idea. How serious is this split? Because we often see loud voices pop up, but at the end of the day, everyone always falls in line with the president.
Well, I think the voices are not going to matter. I think they absolutely are going to fall in line and find a way to say that they agree with the president in whatever he decides to do. But I do think the president has to be very thoughtful about what he does, right? Because a lot of the things that he promised voters have not come to fruition. We've seen a lot of the opposites happen. And, instead, when we think about prices, groceries, inflation, yeah. Those types of things that he told people, we've got this budget bill that people are not going to be happy with. And now you said you were going to be all about America. And here we are possibly getting involved in a foreign conflict.
We'll see what happens with that. But let me bring you in and ask you about that, too, though. Ashley made a good point, too. Is this really an existential crisis for the party? I mean, Tucker Carlson says, listen, his presidency is done if we go into Iran.
What the existential part of it is that this is the connection between the Republicans and the religious right. This is so much of an evangelical debate. You saw even between Tucker and Ted, they debated, was that in Proverbs? Was that in Genesis? Where was it? It was all down to Bible verses and what the Bible says. The Republicans rely so much on evangelicals, many of whom believe that Israel must be protected for the return of Jesus Christ to earth, that all this comes into play in the politics.
And this may be the first time in 20 years we've talked so much about Tucker Carlson here, but he did have that interview with Ted Cruz. And my, was it an interview? You watched a lot of it. I've seen clips on social media here. Cruz was clearly in the crosshairs for it.
Oh, absolutely. And you can see that they both came into that with a clear agenda of trying to really kind of, you know, attack the versus isolationist kind of framework versus the interventionist. And, you know, it really kind of came out. You know, what's interesting is that it didn't necessarily after the after that long interview. It's not that it really kind of brought out a whole lot of strong opinions one way or the other in terms of like changing opinions. And so there is it tells you that there is still a lot of divide among the GOP about what to do. And it's not just about the you know, potential intervention. It's also about, you know, Ted Cruz has talked about regime change in Iran, too. And that's also a, you know, an area of kind of divide as well.
Yeah, that's a fascinating one. Of course, the other huge news also, Ashley, is the political assassinations in Minnesota. Two Texas lawmakers also on that list, that hit list, if you will. It was Veronica Escobar, Congresswoman from El Paso, and then Joaquin Castro from San Antonio. Has there been really any fallout to this? Do you expect this just to be something that changes here in the coming months? Falls off radar?
Absolutely. It has to, because then what did we see happen shortly after that, Jason? We had the pizzas, right? The anonymous pizzas being sent to lawmakers' homes, to judges' homes, which is basically a way of telling them, we know where you live. Mm. So I think that there has to be something done. You have the Capitol Police now asking Congress for more money. You have lawmakers saying, we need better protection. Something has to come of this. We have to take this very, very seriously.
But we've talked for years, and lawmakers have too, about lowering the temperature. It happens every so often, but then it resumes.
You know, and this is extended down to the local level. I mean, you had an attempted kidnapping of the mayor of Memphis. You had an attack on a candidate for mayor in New York. You know, the politicians are really worried, but nobody is willing to come out and denounce the extremists in their own party to tamp down the rhetoric.
Yeah, that's a good point. We just don't hear them talking about their own party as much as they talk about the opposite party. Guys, we appreciate the insight as well. I and Ashley and Bud, thank you so much. We appreciate you watching, too. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics. We hope to see you then. Take care.